Welcome back. You're watching Hope at Home. And now we will have a conversation with a psychiatrist who has been very helpful to thousands of people through this pandemic. Dr. Torben Berglund, welcome to Hope at Home. How are you, sir?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
Excellent. Dr. Torben, let me start in a very personal question. How have you coped with the lockdown and with this pandemic, personally?
Well, I think for me, as for most people, I think this has been like a quite interesting journey and quite different from expected. I've been among those who have been mostly at home, even though I'm a health professional. My work is more leadership administration within the church, so I've not been out there in the front line helping people, treating people. So I've been at home, and that's been quite interesting now for like more or less 4 months. I've talked when I've been interviewed about how we should sort of expect this to be a challenging time, how it's a time for reflection. I sort of thought, well, this is good advice for other people. I didn't sort of really think, well, I have to do quite a bit of reflection myself. But that's been a challenge at times, like going through emotions coming up, things in all my own life coming up, and working through this. I haven't gone into a depression myself, but I understand that this can be a time that for many people can trigger anxiety, can trigger depression even, that can trigger all kinds of emotions and challenges also as we deal with one another. So it's a time of vulnerability for all of us. And I think that's on an individual level, on a societal level. We live, really, this is not just a time of pandemic, but it's a time of vulnerability. And we deal with that in all kinds of ways. Some may be beneficial, some may be helpful. Other times we may have coping strategies that are not that good, that are not that positive. So I think that's really been something that we've all, whatever situation we've been in, and this is like, this has been global, like few other things have been, like almost every country, almost every person has been affected by this, and that's been really unique situation to be in.
Let me ask you something about that. You are the associate director of the health ministries of the Seventh-day Adventist World Church. It's a pretty large church, and I know you've been keeping your finger on the pulse, so to speak, as to how people have coped with this pandemic in different parts of the world, especially as it concerns mental health, which is your area of expertise. Tell us, how have people coped in different parts of the world with the effects of this pandemic?
Well, I think what we've seen is that people cope with it very differently. And that's what happens in a crisis, that the crisis means different things and impacts people in different ways. And I think that's very much what we've seen also. We've seen for some people, it brings out the best in them. They have positive coping strategies. They maintain positivity, looking at what they can do, how can they contribute positively, how can they serve others, while others may sort of be overwhelmed with everything it means, all the consequences, struggle. Some people may find that they go even more, like if they were struggling with bad habits before, maybe they experience even more of them, or they even develop new bad habits. Some seek refuge, run away into all kinds of addictions. So like we have this huge spectrum, as all of us, we are different people. Then people also have very different ways of responding to a situation like this. And this is where we need to be patient and compassionate with one another, because it's not that even if you're struggling, it doesn't mean that it's a character flaw or it's a personal weakness in a way. It just means that this means something different to you and it impacts you in a different way than someone who may be doing perfectly well and being able to continue to live life in a very positive way.
There was a period of transition. When the pandemic first started and we had different procedures in different parts of the world in terms of lockdown. In the United States, more specifically, we had different states dealing with this differently. Some locked down much earlier, others have opened up, and now they're locking down again. How do you see the expectation that you had at the beginning for what would happen compared to where we are now and how you see the future?
Well, I think regarding expectations, I was quite worried from the beginning about the impact of this because we're dealing with a virus that seems to be extremely contagious. And we haven't really faced anything like this. We haven't seen in recent times, and for most of us in our lifetime, we haven't seen anything that had this ability to spread, to transcend borders, to move around. And I think that that came in various ways as a shock to many of us, and we struggled to sort of acknowledge the reality of what actually was going on. So for myself, I was maybe a bit pessimistic in the beginning and thought that, well, this is going to hit us hard. I think that we are now, at least in our context here in the US where I'm, sort of we are 4 months into this lockdown, and sort of there is really no end in sight. As you said, sort of we were able to flatten the curve. But now here in the US, it's increasing again. Other countries, they see the same pattern, that they are very much on the rise, while other countries and regions have been able to more contain it. So it's been really a challenge. And I think one of the biggest challenges is in this, for us also on a mental level, is that we don't know when this is going to end. We don't know the future. We cannot predict this. There are reasons to be optimistic, but still, we don't know sort of if this is, we're talking about months. Some people are even talking about years. So I think what is the reality that we're dealing with is that this has changed the world as we know it for the foreseeable future. That's just a reality that we have to deal with.
Let me ask you a follow-up question to that. Most people don't like change, and we are in a constant state of flux. We do this, then we know this is good, then we don't. Now you need to do this, and then we need to do this, and then that, and then the facts of the matter are, and we are constantly bombarded with different facts. And it's difficult to discover what is true and what isn't true. What impact does this uncertainty have in our mental health?
Well, I think one of the challenges in this is sort of that we entered into this without knowing many things. And even from the experts, the scientists, the ones who we usually trust, the messages have even been differing in the beginning. Sort of the message was, well, like only the frontline people should use masks, sort of the rest of us shouldn't. And then sort of we change our opinions. And that's not because sort of it was a mistake or they were stupid in the beginning, but it's we are entering into new territory all the time, and when we're discovering, we're learning new things. And that is oftentimes that's something that is sort of that the researchers, they deal with that. They are developing the knowledge, and when they finally know something for sure, then they let us know. But in this situation, we've all been in this process learning all the time, and that has been a challenge because some people, they are okay with that. They realize, well, we don't know everything and we are learning as we go, while others, they may start questioning and sort of, well, can we actually trust anyone in this situation? And I think that's one of the challenges that we've seen also in dealing with this coping, is that, like, who can we trust? That has become a huge issue in this pandemic also. Like, do we trust the scientists, the experts? Do we trust the medical professionals? Do we trust the politicians? And people, you have people in all groups saying even different things. So this has been like an information chaos in a way that we've been dealing with also. And that doesn't make it, for sure doesn't make it easier.
From the beginning, you said that one of the best coping mechanisms, I heard you many times being interviewed, and there were two things that stood out to me. And let's talk about the first of them, and then we move to the second. The first was that in this times of uncertainty, you need to remember that this too shall pass, right? The notion that, you know, this will not continue forever. And because this will pass, have patience, do your best. And then the second thing, which was part of that strategy, is focus on that which you can control. So there are thousands of things that are happening that you have no control over, but you can control what time you go to sleep. You can control what you eat. You can control whether you exercise or not. So focus on the things that you can control. Talk to us about how you've seen the people that have followed those strategies and those that didn't, and how you expect them to be 4 months in.
Well, I haven't seen so many people, so I can't speak that. I've been as most of us, sort of in semi-isolation. But I think these things that you sort of remind us of are very, very important in coping when we are faced with difficult challenges. Is sort of, it's rather than trying to and worrying a lot about the things that we are beyond our control, beyond our knowledge, there's always things we can focus on. And that's the biblical advice also, like, don't worry too much about tomorrow. Like, today there's enough trouble, there's enough challenges for today, focus on that. And that's the problem sometimes. If we focus on all the other things, is that we lose the grip on today and the things I can do. As you say, we can decide, when do we go to sleep? We can decide, well, what am I going to eat today? We can decide all these things that are practical, that maybe sort of, but still they may seem like minor things, but like doing these things well can also be very sort of comforting and reassuring also. And then sort of leaving tomorrow for tomorrow. That's an advice. But then again, it's natural, it's normal for us to worry about things. And whenever we are faced with uncertainties about the future, then we do worry about that. So it's important not to guilt trip one another because of that.
And if people are at home, if you're at home right now and you are worrying, that's okay. We have prayer partners that are available right now. You will see the number. You've seen it on the bottom of your screen. You can just call that number and there will be somebody that will be praying for you. If you would like to know more information about what Dr. Torben has been talking about, just visit the website, hopetv.org/at home. That's hopetv.org/at home. Dr. Torben, tell us about the impact of this, of all the things we've been discussing, to our spiritual health. There is a direct link between our mental health and our spiritual health. What do you expect that to be in times of pandemic?
Well, I think the way we process things, like our mental health, is very much about what goes on in our mind, and our spiritual health and well-being also is very much connected with our mental functioning. And what I think that many will be faced in the midst of a crisis like this, and any crisis also, that it can quickly turn into a spiritual crisis. Like, why is this happening to me? Where is God? Why is God allowing this to happen? What I think makes people very vulnerable to a spiritual crisis is when we relate to God and deal with God as sort of the big heavenly fixer of all my problems in life. And that's quite a common way to perceive that. And I've also, when I've talked before about, say, mental health issues, problems, trying to normalize things, saying this is part of life in this world, then I've also had these people reaction, well, what's the point then of being a Christian? What's the point of being an Adventist if we are going to suffer as much as other people? But I think that misses the point of what religion, what Christianity, what Adventism is. For us, it's not sort of about how does God fix my problems, whether they are great or small. We live in a context of a great controversy between good and evil, where this is playing out all the time, and we are a small part and a small player in this. And for me, what I sort of resort to in this is that, well, I may also suffer bad things in this time. And even though God doesn't intervene, even though he can intervene, God is all powerful, God is all loving, God is all knowing, and he can intervene, but still he holds back. And sometimes that doesn't make sense to me. And I may struggle to like, God, why can't you just fix this? It's a small problem. I'm sick or whatever it is. But we have, this is the reality of the world we're living in. Good Christian people who are faithful to God, they get sick, they get died, or they die. And sort of, we ask sort of, why? And there is no sort of good question for that, sort of beyond sort of that, well, it's part of the world we're living in, and that's part of just the condition of this world, is that everyone suffers, and everyone eventually dies unless we live until Jesus comes back. And that's just the reality that we have to live in. But it's so hard, can be very hard to reconcile with that reality and to accept that. But I think that is very important to say that my relationship with God, it's of value in itself. It gives meaning. I'm just happy to be God's friend and for God to be my friend. Even if that means that I'm going to suffer physically, financially, socially, and even struggle spiritually, as we see in the Bible. Also, people, they argued with God. They didn't understand. They had a real relationship where they could say, God, this doesn't make sense to me. Why is this happening? But still, they held on to God. I think that is the essential thing, that we don't sort of give up on God just because bad things are happening and because I'm suffering.
And God, that's not easy to do. We've talked about those that are anxious or fearful. I would like you to address, maybe in some practical ways, if there are any, those that are frustrated and annoyed. They're not anxious, they're not fearful, they're just frustrated and annoyed. What can they do to help alleviate those feelings and bring them back to health mentally?
Yeah, well, what kind of frustrations and annoyance are you thinking about?
I want to go back to work and I cannot, or I am frustrated that I have to wear a mask everywhere that I go, or I am annoyed that the world is not the same as it once was, or any of these constant annoyance and frustrations. That's what I'm thinking of. Okay. Are there any things that people can do if they find themselves in that situation?
Well, I think my advice in this would be try to keep the big picture perspective on what's going on. Like, for me, wearing a mask is annoying, it's uncomfortable, but it makes a difference. It makes a difference. For me, not going to work, not going shopping, not traveling, not going on vacation, it's for sure, it's an annoyance and it's inconvenient. And I miss it. I miss life as it used to be. But still, we have to be responsible. We have to be caring about others, because this is also so much about so much more than my inconvenience and my trouble. And even it's so much more than just about my health. Like some of us, we may be young. We are not in the risk category for catching the virus. If I get the coronavirus, chances are very good that I will get through it quite well. But still, if I'm not responsible, if I'm not careful, I may transport the virus to someone else. I may infect someone else, who then may carry it to someone else, who may carry it to someone who is vulnerable, who may die prematurely, lose out years of life because I was not careful.
Dr. Torben Berglund, Associate Director of Health Ministries for the Seventh-day Adventist World Church, thank you so much for your wise words that are helping people manage through this crisis when it comes to mental health. In a few moments, we will have Season and Mario joining us and helping to pray for those of you that need prayer. In fact, we all need prayer. We'll continue to have Barry Black. He's a pastor. He's the chaplain of the U.S. Senate, and he'll be helping us understand more and more about prayer. But this, of course, is after the break. Don't go away.